GI Journal goes to press. Sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, the radio newspaper of the AEF. Men, you all know how smooth and sleek and streamlined a submarine is, don't you? Well, here's a man whose voice makes exactly the same gurgling sounds as that submarine does when it sinks below the surface. Your editor-in-chief, Bing Crosby.
Aye, men!
Aye!
Thanks, Harry. You did say sinks, didn't you, about the submarine? Well, men, it's sure warming to the heart to be taking the roll call on the old G.I. Journal again. This is your five-star final, and standing by, your five-star reporters. There's lovely Linda Darnell, the female on the V-mail detail, who makes you feel like rushing right out and signing some important papers. Also, Ransom Sherman, our Muses from the Muses column editor, who's going to louse up your poems. Mel Blanc, the one-man crowd. Harry Mitchell, and of course, our outside reporter, Rochester. He ought to be calling in with the story any minute. Hello? For whom does the bell toll?
This is Rochester, boss. I'm overseas with the ordnance men, checking farms. Now let's see. Springfields, Durands, Carbines.
Rochester, what kind of a weapon was that?
Bazooka. Now I'm going to take a hammer and tap this big bomb.
Rochester, are you mad? If you tap that bomb, it'll explode and send you 50 miles high.
Don't be silly, boys.
Rochester, what happened? Where are you?
I ain't sure, but here comes Mr. Jordan.
Rochester is now a suburb of Buffalo, I think. But over here on column 2, page 1, we find another of the 48s praised in song. For R.J. Ordway and the gang at APO 636, and for Sergeant Al Owyke at APO 980, it's the new and sure to be popular song, Iowa.
Iowa, Iowa. That's how they sing it in the tall corn song. Other people call. Fair, and the odd fellas home. leading the circus at dawn. Why, oh, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's a promise for tomorrow and the memory of long, long ago. Iowa, what a beautiful name. When you say it like we say it back home.
Page waiting to be filled with something. It's the views from the Muses column. But where's the editor?
Hello, Mr. Crosby.
Hello.
I'm Ransom Sherman, the poetry Ed.
Yes, and I'm the managing Ed.
Well, I always say two Eds are better than one.
Oh.
What do you always say?
No comment. Just read your poems, eh, Rancid?
The name is not Rancid. The name is Ransom.
Oh, yes.
Rancid means bitter, spoiled, distasteful.
You see what I mean?
Then so, Mr. Crosby, and I hope all your jokes hatch by spring, too. But enough of this prattle. It's time to rhyme.
And whence cometh the first ode?
I'm glad you asked. It's from John Dallin at AP0972. Remember those beautiful travel ads about the South Sea Isles? They told of dark-eyed beauties dressed only in their smiles. Now here I am in that South Sea place, and all that I can see is the guy who wrote those ads is a jerk. I know, because the guy is me.
Rance, do you think those kind of poems will ever replace the old-fashioned hot foot?
Well, I don't gamble, Bing, but I'll match you for it. Our next contribution is from Arnold Weinberg at a Coast Guard base somewheres. Somewheres.
Mm-hmm.
On the rifle range, I'm very bashful. I'm one of the hammers and hawers. Because every time I fire my rifle, I see nothing but Maggie's drawers. I'm glad you asked that, too. Our last poem is rather short. It was sent in by Captain Frank H. Burrow, somewhere overseas. Rusty rifle, dirty shoes. Messy clothes, guardhouse blues.
And how true. They'll gig you every time. Remember, men, we're still in the market here for poems, limericks, and assorted verses. All you got to do is email them in to GI Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA, and we'll be only too glad to print them up for you. Hello?
Hello, boss.
Boss? Who is this that's calling me boss?
Well, it ain't Frank Sinatra.
You're sure about that, huh?
Of course I'm sure about it. All or nothing at all. Hey, maybe I am Frank Sinatra.
With gravel, eh? Well... We're going to press any minute now. What's the scuttle on your experiences overseas with the troops?
Okay, but there's some military secrets I'll have to leave out.
Yeah?
I can't tell you exactly where I am. I can't tell you exactly how I got here. And I can't tell you exactly what I'm doing.
Well, exactly what can you tell me?
Well, the only thing I can tell you exactly is that there's exactly nothing I can tell you.
That's all right, Rochester. We understand perfectly. Hitler's got big ears.
Look who's talking.
I know you're somewhere in the South Pacific on an island, though.
That's right, boss. And this island must be the smallest island in the world.
Oh, now, after all, Rochester, how small can an island be?
Well, just to give you a rough idea, every time you roll a dice, you got to swim out to read your point. I've been losing a fortune in this game.
How come?
I can't swim as fast as they can.
Did you find any girls on that island?
Yeah, there's one girl here that's wearing a sarong.
Great, great. Dorothy Lamore looks swell in a sarong.
Boss, any resemblance between her and Miss Lamore is purely non-existent.
What are those native girls doing?
They're doing the hula hula.
The hula hula?
Yeah, that's just like the rumba, only they keep the wiggle on the grass.
Reading the date headline, we see that it's dated musically September song. This is particularly for Sergeant Willard Tease and the Grease Monkeys in barrack number 601 at APO 634.
weather. Turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got time for the waiting game. All the days dwindle down to a precious few.
Pages in the GI Journal, we come face to face with our letters to the editor. And that's something when the face belongs to lovely Linda Darnell.
Hiya, Bing.
Hiya, Linda. Now that you're here, I'm all eyes and ears.
That's funny, Bing. You know, when Bob Hope was editor, he said he was all eyes and ears.
Let's cut his nose in there for a small bow, too.
Well, Bing, look, I want to thank you for asking me out to your rancho over the weekend.
Pleasure was all mine, Linda Gal. Did you enjoy indulging in the rural life?
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, you should get out every day and chop wood or something.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yes. Yesterday I chopped up 2 cords of wood.
How much wood?
1 cord.
How much?
Well, I chopped down a little tree.
Bing.
All right, so I fractured a tooth.
Well, all I know is that I slept like a log the whole time. Did you have any trouble sleeping, Bing?
No, but when I first bought the ranch, I used to walk in my sleep.
You used to walk in your sleep?
Yes. Yeah. One night I climbed up on the roof and I caused an alert.
Oh, the army spotted you, huh?
Yeah, but they finally decided my pajamas were friendly.
I never knew you were so domestic, Bing.
Well, I'm a rustic.
Well, sure. I mean, well, gee, you can feed chickens and milk cows like a regular farmer.
Linda, I don't want to brag or anything, but last week I milked so many cows that when I sing, it comes out bossy me mucho.
Well, it serves you right for milking in conga rhythm.
Conga rhythm?
Yeah, I saw you.
Oh, oh, oh.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Take. Well, tell me, how did you make out each morning collecting the eggs?
Oh, I loved it, Bing. You know, I collected eggs from every hen except one.
Oh, yes, I know. Matilda, she is a triumph.
Yes.
I forgot to tell you about her.
Well, what about her?
Well, she's very patriotic. Every time you ask her for an egg, she says, I'm sorry. Putting everything I have into war bonds.
Look, I think we better get going on our letters to the editor,
don't you think so? Got some good ones this week?
I should say so. For instance, listen to this poem from WAC Lieutenant Nyla Muncy. It's called Troop Ship Missing. Snafu didn't tell her the name of the ship. He only said he was sailing. Snafu didn't tell her his APO nor kiss her goodbye from the railing. All Snafu really did, and it wasn't very much, was to tell her the time they were leaving. And she didn't tell a single soul, except her mother and Or maybe another. Well, it didn't hurt for them to know. And now, though she's tried and tried, she just can't figure out why Snapper's never arrived.
And I hope the inference contained therein is only thinly veiled.
Yes, I hope so, too.
How about this letter here?
Well, the next one, Bing, is from Goon Van Aken, Pop Wrigley, Felipe Paulson, Guy Curtis, and Jody Danielson.
What a bunch of boys.
These boys are at APO 937, and I quote, "Hiya, Bing. We want to know why you aren't on for a whole hour.
Because
we get such a big bang out of your GI Journal program."
Well, thanks, man. We'd get a big bang out of being on a whole hour, too. But George M. Cohan told me once to always get off before you became too good a target.
Oh, look, Bing, you better read the next one, huh?
Okay, it's from Sergeant Bill Cantor. It's the sergeant's idea of what the average infantryman is like. The infantryman has gone through a period of tough training. He's learned to respond instinctively to the voice of command. He's learned to use a map and compass to creep and crawl. He's learned the use of weapons and the value of teamwork. Then comes combat. All infantrymen don't reach this stage, but the ones who do have a little different expression and look in their eye. That's a look born of experience, which is the infantryman's peculiar duty, that of making his own unwilling feet carry him forward against enemy fire in the attempt to close in hand-to-hand fighting with the opponent. That's the combat infantryman.
And that's a wonderful letter, Sergeant. No fooling. Look, perhaps you men listening in have an idea what the average serviceman of your unit is like. So, well, that's whether it's a submarine, a glider, or what have you. And if you do, fellas, just sit down and V-mail it to GI Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA.
Boy, I'm sharp.
Don't start swapping gags with me. I'm warning you.
Oh, you're really ready, huh?
I'll say yes, sir.
Well, who are you that you're so sharp?
Oh, just a little old bayonet.
Comes time now to turn to this week's pin-up section. There's really something here to give the once-over to. It's MGM's beautiful new singing starlet, Gloria DeHaven. For R.W. Morris at Navy 250, Gloria steps front and center with "I've Got a Crush on You."
How glad the many millions of soldiers and civilians would be to capture me. But you had such persistence, you wore out my resistance. I fell, and it was swell. You're my big and brave and handsome Romeo. How you won me, I shall never, never know. It's not that you're attractive, but oh, my heart grew active when you... I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie, all the day and night time. Hear me sigh, I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Oh, baby, could you coo?
To the next next page in the GI Journal, we find that the type is all set for printing.
Hey, what's all this newspaper? Ain't this the YMCA?
This happens to be the copy room of the old G.I.J., son. Who are you?
Oh, me? I'm Lieutenant Captain Major Current Private Sad Sack.
And none too soon, either, to give our readers another installment in the story of your life, Sad Sack.
Yes, sir. Here's another install.
You're really stalled, aren't you, right?
Yeah, I talk like your horses run.
Oh. Let's keep those four-footed gold bricks of mine out of this. We present herewith another chapter in the life of the Sad Sack. Sad Sack was a brilliant child in school. As soon as the teacher asked a question, he put his little hand up.
Now, children, who was the first president of the United States? Sad Sack, I see you have your hand up.
I just wanted to leave the room, teacher.
And so it came to pass as the Sad Sack grew up. He made a lot of people happy. Nobody was happier about the Sad Sack than one man in particular, who shouted over and over...
He proved my theory! He proved my whole theory!
A fellow by the name of Charles Darwin. But the parents of the Sad Sack really loved him. One Christmas, his father surprises the Sad Sack with a baseball bat. He sneaks up behind him and...
And a Happy New Year, too!
Then one fine day, a great event occurs in the life of the Sad Sack. He goes to his first burlesque show.
Fresh popcorn.
Shortly after this, the Sad Sack... among evil companions, and he takes his first drink. He lifts the glass to his lips and swallows.
Hey, is this supposed to be strong? Why, there's no effect at all. I don't even feel it. Who kicked me in the stomach?
Like the rest of the men his age, the Sad Sack is drafted into the army. One day he was cleaning a big cannon not far from the PX. A tough sergeant walks by and says,
"Hey, you got that cannon pointed right at the PX."
"Oh, that's all right. It's not loaded. There's nothing in it. It's empty. It's empty." Well, the PX was all out of beer anyway.
Pick up the roller here with an old favorite. After you've gone.
After you've gone and left me crying. After you've gone, there's no denying. You'll feel blue. You'll feel sad. It's the dearest. You're going to feel sad.
unit.
Cavalry unit, huh? Well, ask them if they'd like any of my horses to help out in the war.
I already broached the question.
What did they say?
Uh-uh. Your horses did their bit in the last war.
Such libel. Tell me, Roch, what you up to now?
I'm getting ready to perform maneuvers, but I got a tough problem to lick before I can leave.
Well, go ahead. Solve your problem.
Okay, boss. Well, I did it.
Did what?
Finally got my field pack rolled.
Less noise than that, rolling 10 the hard way.
Say, Bing.
Yeah?
Here's a letter from Lieutenant Dave Robertson and his men at APO 505 and from Corporal Arthur J. Orozco and his cronies at APO 523. And they are in the mood for some more of our community warbling.
One community sing coming right up, Linda. All you guys here in the audience and all you soldiers, sailors, Coast Guardsmen, and Marines everywhere else, turn on the heat and give. I'll open the pot with a chorus, and then all of you are invited to ante up with your tenor, bass, baritone, or whatever you brung with you here. I'll knock the chorus first. Ready, Keen? I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. She was a pearl and the only girl that Daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true. One who loves nobody else but you. Like the girl that married dear old Dad. Now, everybody, Kirkley, Askin, Hogue, Fisher, Waters, Gaffney, Reed, Faisan, Lehman, Vaughn, Edwards, Huckle, and all you GIs everywhere, hang on and grab another handful as we go around. Nothing could possibly top that, so I think we better draw the blinds and call it a day. But before I go, remember what G.I. Joe says. Every item you save helps shorten the war. I'll be back with you soon, and in the meantime, this is Bing Crosby saying so long.
The G.I. Journal has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
AEI Journal again, your radio newspaper of the AEF, the paper that prints the best jokes and poems sent in by you men overseas. Well, men, we're back in the city room of the GI Journal once again, and here's your editor-in-chief of this edition, the only man in the world who's got the stork acting like a ferry command pilot, the old groaner himself, Bing Crosby.
Hiya, men!
Well, thank you, Harry Mitchell. It's a great kick to be back in the old swivel chair on GI Journal again. Heading such a promising editorial staff as Miss Lena Horn, in charge of our music page, Ransom Sherman, poet laureate, and ace newscaster. We have Mel Blanc, the one-man crowd, the sad sack, and as our special guest, your old friend, Henny Young. Comedian, mimic, violinist, monologist, and nightclub entertainer. Also takes over Sunday KP for $3. You know who's going to do what at you. Let's turn to music, page one, for a little thing we're offering today with John Scott the Trot and the music maids called Bless 'em All. There's a troop ship just leaving Bombay, bound for the blimey shore, heavily laden with time-expired men, bound for the land they adore. There's many a bloke who has just missed the boat. There's many a lad signing on, but there'll be no promotion this side of the ocean. So cheer up, my lads, bless them all. Bless them all, bless them all. The long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants, the top kickers too. If you believe me, above all, bless you for we're saying goodbye to them all. As up the gangway we crawl, no ice cream and cookies for stout-hearted rookies. So cheer up, me lads, bless them all. Scrub up the barracks room floor.
No privacy, and really no privacy now. We're all behind the eight ball. No ice cream and cookies for flat-footed rookies. So cheer up, my lad, bless them all.
Bless them all.
An unconfirmed report originating with pledge files and routed through Reuters versus the Associated Press, of course, Federal Thousand, although totally lacking in confirmation from any Allied source, today allegedly asserted, according to a high government official whose name I am not at liberty to divulge, but is usually considered highly authoritative, although his name must remain a secret since he is a high government official whose name I am not at liberty to divulge, that in the Lestorius Marples Peninsula today, nothing happened.
Certainly a mighty cagey communication. I mean, plenty of scammers in there, wasn't it? I think you're entitled to a raise.
Well,
what's your present salary?
Well, $3 a week.
Well, from now on, you're going to get it.
Thank you.
Tell me, High Bracket, what's with the poetry corner for this week?
We received one poem that is nothing less than epic, a few that are distinctly masterpieces, several extremely salutary efforts, and a couple that are workmanlike.
Workmanlike?
Yes, you know, stinkers.
Well, hit us with the epic, Rand.
Very well. It's from Seaman Second Class Joe Boilby, care of Fleet Post Office. Epic. If Little Red Riding Hood lived today, the modern girl would scorn her. She only had to face one wolf, not one on every corner.
Hope gets around, doesn't
he? However, men, G.I. Journal will continue to print up the best of your poems each week, whether they contain a reference to old Reed Beak or not.
Love that Reed Beak.
Reed Beak.
Thank you, Lord.
Just address your odes to G.I. Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA.
And now then, Rance, my boy. I use the word boy loosely. Did you run that ad in the morning paper like I told you to?
Yes. This is it right here. I'll read it to him. Wanted, literary editor for G.I. Journal. Must be brilliant, intelligent, energetic young man with high scholastic attainments, student of the classics, and highly developed aesthetic and cultural background. Salary, no object.
Salary, no object?
Oh, that's just a phrase. It means object, no salary.
That's certainly confusing enough to stimulate interest, Rance. And while we're waiting for the applicants to stream in, we turn to the horoscope column where we see right plumb at the top, September song. This is for Corporal F.R. Briggs at APO 980. Okay, count up to four.
One, two, three.
What about four?
Never heard of it.
Did you ever go to school?
Why, certainly I went to school. I went to college. I made B.S., A.B., L.L.D., and U.W.
U.W.?
Yeah, unsuccessful wolf.
You've done a good deal of reading, Henny.
All my life. Why, would you believe it? When I was a child of six, I used to sit on my governess's lap and have her read to me.
How long did you keep that up?
Till I was 32.
glad you finally decided to quit.
Well, I had her. I had her lap one right down to the upholstery.
But you still go on with your reading, I hope.
Yeah, well, only this week I finished reading The Life of Grant and The Life of Lee.
The Life of Lee? Yeah, which one? Robert E. or Light Horse Harry?
Gypsy Rose.
Tell me, how long were you in school altogether?
You mean counting the year I was in kindergarten?
Yeah.
Well, 1 year.
And what is your present occupation, Henny?
Well, I'm in the gasoline business.
Oh, the gasoline business.
Yes, I siphon and my brother squeezes.
What does your brother squeeze?
Me. He wants to make sure I'm not holding out on him.
How about dropping over to my garage and throwing in a small burp, huh?
That's a little regular.
Just get the lead out, that's all. One more light question, Henny, before I decide not to give you this job. Are you married or single?
Well, this is a confidential thing, but Ann Sheridan and I are engaged to be married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but don't spread it around. So far, only the two of us know about it.
Oh, just you and Ann, huh?
No, just you and me.
I can't tell a human. Not a living human. Well, you're not exactly what we're looking for, Henny, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a crack at the job anyway.
Well, I'll take it.
You understand, of course, the job entails quite a bit of hard work.
I'll take it.
Means a lot of research work at night.
I'll take it.
You won't have time to go out with any girls.
Which way is the nearest pool room?
Don't be hasty, Henny. Suppose you just stick around here till after the next number. And I'll try you out on a little assignment. Meanwhile, for the boys at 631 and for Private First Class Jimmy Markham at 251, here's a particularly ballady ballad called Day After Forever.
Whispering your name, and
Henny, are you ready for that assignment now?
Sure thing, Bing. You know what they call me? Five-star final.
Who, you? I thought they called me five-star final.
Oh, no, you're just four so far, and it ain't final.
Who is this kid, Sinatra on stilts? Look, your assignment is waiting for you in the next room. It's Lena Horne.
Lena Horne?
Yes, sir, and I want an interview. Now get in there and get it.
Okay, boss.
Hello.
Hello, Lena. The boss sent me in for an interview. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, let's begin at the beginning. I was born in New York in 1911. My mother and father always wanted a child. Then I was born. They're still trying. When I was 8 years old, I ran away from home. I didn't exactly run away from home. My folks took me down to Highway 66 and pointed. I fooled him. I returned home, and when I was 14 years old, my father had a long talk with me about the birds and the bees. You know, it wasn't until I was 17 that I found out a man in a canary can't have any fun.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Who's interviewing who? I thought you were supposed to interview me.
What do I know about interviewing? I'm no reporter. I'm a violinist.
Really? A good violinist?
Why, certainly. People have compared me to Yasha Heifetz. They say that compared to Yasha Heifetz, I stink.
To tell me you've never interviewed anybody before?
That's right. I wouldn't even know how to begin.
Well, I'll be glad to help you. All you have to do is ask me questions.
Why, that's swell of you, Lena. What kind of questions?
Well, you might start off by asking me how old I am.
All right, fine. How old are you?
I never tell.
Well, we're over the first hurdle. Now what?
Now you ask me where I live.
Okay, where do you live?
Oh, we moved.
You know this interviewing is easy when you get the knack of it. What do I do now?
Well, now why don't you try to find out something about my personality? For instance, who my favorite movie star is.
Okay, who's your favorite movie star?
Well, oh, he's not in pictures anymore.
Boy, what a scoop this is going to be. Now, have we left anything out?
Well, you might ask me what kind of pets I have.
Yeah, I might, but I don't think I will.
You know, you can tell a lot about a person from the pets she has. If she likes dogs, she's one kind of person. If she likes cats, she's another.
Okay, what kind of a pet have you got?
Oh, my landlord doesn't allow them.
Brother, when Winchell reads this, he'll be so mad if he's piercing over the head with scouts.
Well, shall we continue? Or do you think you've got enough information?
Oh, no, let's go on. So far, all we've covered is your age, your address, your favorite movie star, and pet. There must be other things our readers are interested in not knowing.
All right. Suppose you ask me.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. I'm not asking you another thing until you promise to give me a definite answer.
Okay. I promise.
Don't forget now. A definite answer. What's your favorite food?
Vichyssoise au gratin à la bordelaise avec croutons.
Let's go back to your way. Well, Henny, did you get that story on Lena Horne?
Yep, here you are, Chief. All the information is on that paper.
Right here. What's this? Lena Horne has hair, eyes, and teeth.
Yeah, and even at that, I'm guessing a little.
Well, looks like we still need a literary editor on the GI Journal. But, Lena, just so your trip down here won't be a total loss, how about a song?
I'll be glad to, Bing.
How about leaning lightly on a Don't Come Lately? Something old and nostalgic, huh?
Yeah, sing my favorite song, Lena. I want a girl just like the girl that married Harry James.
This boy will get you in nothing but trouble, Lena. Why don't you pick one out yourself?
I'd rather let the boys at APO 502 pick it out. They want me to do Honeysuckle Road.
Well, lay it all over.
Honeybee sighs with jealousy when they
they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. You're my honey, so close. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh. And I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows. You're my honey, so close.
You dropped in the press room of the old G.I.J. this particular evening.
It was fun, Dave.
Yes, and tonight we have a letter here from overseas. It's addressed to you. A certain sergeant from the 93rd Division says he knows you, and he'd like you to read his letter about his outfit.
Oh, I'd be glad to. I went to school with some of these guys. He writes me, "Dear Lena, we finally got what we've been looking for, action. I'm happy to report the 93rd did itself proud. That training we received back in the States is what pulled us through. Our first assignment was a Lulu. We had to go into the jungle to find and destroy enemy troops who were hiding on a ridge, which gave them complete command of a valley. We needed that valley to move forward. It took us two hard, long days to do the job, but we did it. We had to use every weapon and trick in the book to clear the way. The highlight of the whole action was some very fine bazooka shooting by Private First Class Wade Foggy and Sergeant Will Morey. These boys knocked out five Jap pillboxes with just eight shots. That's really going some. Our boss, Lieutenant Colonel Amos, says we can hold our own with any jungle fighters in the Pacific. That's the kind of talk the 93rd thrives on. They're telling us hard days lie ahead. But we're telling you the 93rd is all set for any eventuality. You'll be hearing from us again real soon, I hope.
Well, the Sarge sure said it for all of us. We take our hats off to the men of the 93rd. Remember, all of you other men, if you think you have a terrific outfit, let's hear about it down at GI Journal, Los Angeles, USA.
Hey, Chief.
Yes?
There's a man outside to see you.
What does he look like?
Well, you know Gary Cooper?
Yes.
I doubt if this guy does.
Well, let's case this character. Run him in here.
Good morning, it's a lovely, lovely weather area. It's a beautiful, oh, what a beautiful meet me. It's a good morning. Don't the sun ever come out here?
You're in California, my boy. Who are you?
I'm the smiling Irishman. I'm the laughing Scandinavian, the happy hungry I'm a sad sack.
I should have recognized that garbage can crouch of yours. What can I do for you?
Well, I came about the job. Literary editor. Manager, I want the job as a copy reader. Have you got a broom?
Well, you came about the editor's position, huh? Well, tell me. Are you a university man?
Oh, it's certainly, naturally. What's a university?
In other words, you're not a university man.
I tried to get in at Princeton. They wouldn't take me at Columbia, at UCLA, at Ohio. They threw me out of Vassar.
Vassar's a girls' school.
Yeah, I know. That's what made me so sore when they threw me out.
What makes you think you're qualified for this position?
Well, my whole family, one of us ought to work.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll forget your educational background for the moment. Have you got any bad habits?
Just one.
Well, what is it?
I Couldn't tell you.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm too ashamed.
Oh, come on. Tell me.
Well, all right. I put wet teaspoons in sugar bowl.
You mad, impetuous boy.
Well, and at least I don't have it as bad as him and my father.
No?
No. He uses tablespoons.
This is catastrophic, really. Have you any other bad habits? Do you gamble?
Oh, no. Never.
You don't play the horses?
Oh, yes. That I do.
I thought you just said you didn't gamble.
Well, I don't gamble. I play your horses.
Let's not get morbid, huh? And I'm sorry, old man, but I don't think we can use you.
Well, why not? Am I too short?
No, a literary editor has to be able to read manuscripts, write stories, compose, edit, correct, evaluate, and assemble. Do you follow me?
I dropped out after you said read and write.
When this boy's draft board scraped the bottom of the barrel for him, I wish they'd have sent us the bottom of the barrel instead. Well, man, it's about time to close up shop on your G.I.J. for tonight. But before we do, James Wright at APO 520 likes our community sings, and he wants us to do another one. James has spoken well, and we shall oblige him. How about Girl of My Dreams? I'll give it a light brush here first, and then we want everybody listening to grab a G.I. mop and clean her up. Girl of my dreams, I love you, honest I do, you are so sweet, if I could just hold your arms again in my arms, then life would be complete, since you've been gone. Soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guard, and all the feminine contingents, wherever you are, giant up and let's make the welkin ring. You ready, boys? Singing, men, and thanks very much. Of course, it wasn't loud enough to suit me. The chandelier is still up there. And so the time has come to say adios. Before I do, remember what G.I. Joe has to say. Keep your ammunition dry. Don't forget, a wet round may cause a dry run. This is Bing Crosby saying so long.
Just a reminder, men, if you'd like to write for such stars as Bing Crosby, Henny Youngman, Lena Horne, Kay Kaiser, Bob Hope, Jerry Colonna, and Linda Darnell, just send in any gag that you think will fit them, and believe me, we'll use it. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Thank you.